The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
Happy Valentine's Day and welcome back to the Brightside Chat. Hey, this week we try to stay to Valentine's Day theme, but it isn't that easy. We update you on this week's comics and then we get into Death of Superman and Reign of Superman. And believe it or not, it's a love story. Let's head on into the store. Hey, John, happy Valentine's Day. How you doing?
I am goddamn great, DJ. How are you?
Language.
Hey, we're PG-13.
Oh, okay. PG-13. So, you know, we do a podcast here, and I got...
You really?
Yeah, which is all about talking, right?
Yeah.
And my wife the other day tells me, you're so well-spoken, right up until the time you start to speak.
Well, that's a backhanded compliment if ever I heard one.
Yeah, she's like, she was trying to explain it to me, and she's like, you're so good at talking, you love to talk, you know what you want to say, you're so good at it, but when you start, you're just not good at it.
I don't know what that means.
That's the thing. She kept trying to explain it, and she kept saying, like, I guess I fumble when I first start. And, like, I'll say stupid things, but then once I get into a flow...
Oh, just getting started.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it just...
Just getting going.
The way she presented it in the first place was like, you're so well-spoken right up until you
until
speak.
Until you speak.
So the one thing you have to do to... Yeah, okay. So, all right. So it's Valentine's Day. Well, we're recording this on Valentine's Eve, and I hope to put...
Valentine's Eve.
Yeah, and I hope to put this out on Valentine's Day. So... In the spirit of Valentine's Day, I was thinking we could take this podcast and we'll have everything revolve around Valentine's Day. You think you could pull it off?
Okay. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but honestly, since I haven't prepared that at all, but
well,
I guess I'll give it a go.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how we're going to get through all of the like recommendations and all of that. Well, actually, two of my recommendations are already set up, but you didn't know this was the plan until just now, so should be interesting. Right. So you ready to get started?
Sure.
All right. So how am I going to spend my money this week for Valentine's Day?
Well, DJ, let me tell you. What you're going to get your sweetheart for Valentine's Day, if you want to speculate on something that might have value later, is a book called God of Bad Men, issue number one from Amigo Comics.
That's just tripping in Valentine's Day love.
Tripping in Valentine's Day love. So Amigo Comics is a publisher I don't really know a whole lot about. It is a Spanish company, I guess, but they only publish in the U.S., so I don't really understand that either. This is a book that most stores probably don't have on the shelf. I know I didn't order any copies of it. Again, I've never heard of Amigo Comics, but people are looking for this book and it's selling for about $15. So if you can find one at your store, buy it for your sweetheart and she'll triple her money at some point in the future.
So you know nothing about the book? You just know the title and that it's...
I just know the title and I know people were people were out looking for it. It's selling on eBay, like I said, in the $15 range. This is a $3.99 comic book. Again, you know, I've mentioned it before. I think the reason why these small press books end up being worth so much is just because the few people that do want them, they have a hard time finding them because most stores don't order them. So if you're going to eBay to buy books like this, the people that are selling on eBay are jacking the prices up because they know people. It's false demand in a way, and I don't know what the long-term sustainability of that is, but I know that this book isn't going to become more plentiful down the line because there's still only going to be a set number of copies.
Right.
So it just depends on how many people actually want it. You know, and are trying to get their hands on it.
Right.
But, you know, it seems like every week when we talk about speculator books, there's always that one small publisher that nobody's ever really heard of.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, one of these books that people start looking for. So as a store owner, I'm actually going to start trying to pay a little bit more attention to some of these companies that are brand new or that seem small, and maybe stock up a copy or two at least of their first issue comics and see how it goes. But, you know, like I said, they're so small and they have so few entries in the catalogs that I think a lot of stores could easily just skip right by them.
Yeah.
And they just don't even order them.
Yeah, and that's what makes them limited release, which brings up the value. So,
right. So I don't know that it's anything necessarily good or bad or that anything spectacular happens in this book. It's just there's a demand and there's not a lot of supply for it. And as far as speculator books go, new books that came out today, that's really the only one. There really wasn't a whole lot of books today that had variant covers, or at least not variant covers that were attainable. You know, always the 1 in 50s and the 1 in 25s, they always hold a little bit of value. But like I said, most stores don't order those, and there wasn't a lot of new number one issues coming out that people would have ordered that many copies of anyways. So,
all right.
So we'll jump right into our back issue bonus books for this week. First one on the list is Showcase Comics number 79. This is a DC comic, and this is the first appearance of a character called Dolphin. There's speculation that she might appear in the next Aquaman movie. So that's creating a little bit of demand for that book. Right now, like a CGC graded 7.0 copy sold for $205 on eBay this week. And, you know, the Overstreet price guide has that book at about $40. So it's definitely selling for way above guide. And, you know, look for that to continue as news comes out and whether or not we may see this character. And she's actually a pretty popular character in the Aquaman stories, especially the newest run in the newer Rebirth issues.
Yeah.
So if there's a second movie, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see her show up there. Speaking of Aquaman, some other news broke this week that they're talking about doing a spinoff involving the characters from the Trench. So the Trench first appeared in the New 52 run of Aquaman issue number one, and so that talk has had people, you know, kind of trying to go back and pick this book up. There's lots of copies of this book out there,
yeah,
but it's still selling for $15 to $25 right now. I am sold out finally, but I've had multiple copies of this in the store over the last year and a half, and we were selling them in the $8 or so range. So it's definitely gone up a lot.
It's
from there.
It's funny that they're going to do, like you were saying about the spinoff.
I didn't know if we were going to talk about that more later, or we could just do it right now, I guess.
Yeah, we could do it now.
This seems kind of wrong-headed to me. I don't know how you feel about it, but I know Aquaman is the big thing right now, and it's made all the money, you know, and it's definitely the highest-grossing DC movie.
Yeah. So,
you know, to date, but I don't see where the story is with the Trench.
Well,
honestly,
I could see them making a story. I just find it hard to believe, like, you can have a story without Aquaman in it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I guess,
you know,
who's your main character here? If you do a movie about the Trench, the Trench dwellers, I guess they're mindless killing machines. Their basic instinct. They only act on survival instincts. They don't really think or reason or converse with one another. So who's your main character? If it's,
well,
just a bunch of random Atlanteans that are stuck in the Trench. If it's just like a horror movie with some Atlanteans trying to get out of the Trench, I don't see where the compelling movie is.
Yeah.
There.
And the thing is like, so in Aquaman, they've already, you know, dove into it.
Right.
So, I mean, if you read the Trench series, what is it, like five books, I think, is
five or six issues.
Five,
like,
or
the first,
six issues.
It's the first arc in the New 52,
right? And there's actually scenes in the books that show up in the movie in different incarnations. Right. Like, a lot of people were wondering, like, when you saw the movie, like, why is Aquaman and Mira taking a boat when they're from the, you know, but that boat is actually in the book. But it's not Aquaman and Mira on the boat. It's like, it was fishermen, wasn't it? Or something like that.
Right, yeah, it was just random
fishermen. But it was literally the same scene from the book, which was kind of cool. But my point is, if you're going to make it a horror movie, one of the fun parts of a horror movie is not knowing what's around the corner. Well, we already know what's in the trench. So to have somebody else go down there and not be Aquaman, and we already know that everybody else that goes down there, other than his mom, dies. So I don't know, which kind of intrigues me, because I don't think that they're that stupid. You know what I mean? They must have a story in mind that's going to be decent.
Well, James Wan, you know, he gave us Aquaman. So, you know, he's obviously got a take on it. And I'm interested to see where it goes, but I don't know. This seems like not the right move, I think. It's two steps backward from the big step forward they made. Like, give us Aquaman 2 before this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because it can't be surface dwellers, right? Because they could never survive the pressure of getting to the trench in the first place. If it's just a bunch of trench denizens, I guess, I don't know what to call them, just going to the surface and killing people on fishing boats, I just don't see where the compelling movie is.
Well, all right, let me just...
Because, like, you want to get... In a horror movie, you know, you're... For the most part, you're kind of cornered or trapped in with whatever the evil is that, you know, is haunting that movie.
Yeah.
If it's the trench, just stay off the water. Like, just don't go there. So, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Right, but you have to... So here, I just thought of an idea that they could use. What if it is humans, surface dwellers, and they think that there's something valuable down there to fight the Atlanteans? So we go in there and we try to mine something that we think we can use to battle the Atlanteans. And obviously you're trying to go behind Aquaman's back because you want to battle. So Aquaman wouldn't be in the movie, but it could be like a prequel to the part 3. So you have Aquaman, Aquaman 2, the trench, and then the third one is whatever happens in the trench and 2 combined.
Yeah, just again, we're just really speculating. But again, if it's humans...
Oh, we're already out of speculation.
You can't get down there without some kind of, you know, heavy submersible, right? Like,
well, yeah,
nothing you can... No dive suit you can get in is going to go there.
Yeah, this is comic books. They can write...
But
can
if you're
something.
In this, if you're in this vessel, then... You're sort of protected from the trench dudes anyways, right? Because
But maybe they make it really scary and they can destroy your submarine too. So who knows? I mean, that's just an idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's just an idea. But yeah, it's...
All that to say, go out and get New 52 Aquaman number one.
Yeah, number one is... Yeah.
Really, 1 through 5, I guess, is the whole story arc, but... The one that would hold value would be number one, because that's the first appearance of the trench. So I don't know. You know, if they make it, I'm going to go see it.
Of course.
But it feels off to me. I just don't know.
I agree. Where they're thinking but there. It'll be fun to see what they do. So
All right. So moving on to Batwoman.
That was great Valentine's
Day
talk, by the way. That was fantastic.
It was. Yeah. Well, so we're going to move on to Batwoman. Batwoman has red hair and red lipstick, and that reminds me of a heart, which is red. So we're back on the Valentine's Day theme. So obviously CW announced that, you know, they're working on the Batwoman show for next season, and they've announced their villain.
Yeah.
And the villain is going to be Alice. So Alice is... You know, from the Lewis Carroll, Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
And this is not speculation. Like, we know for a fact that Alice is going to be in this series. So this is more of a known quantity. So it really just comes down to what the best deal is you could get on this book. Because, you know, so it should continue to rise.
Do you want to get into who Alice is?
It's I can't remember her name, but she played on the Birds of Prey.
Yeah, she was. She's already been in that. But I'm talking about like who she is in the comic books. Do you think they're going to have that same tie-in? Being Kate Kane's sister.
You know more about her than I do because I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a big Batwoman reader, unfortunately, but...
Okay.
I would imagine so, though. Like, these shows tend to not change that mythology too much.
No, but that,
you know,
that's
most of the CW shows have kept the character relationships pretty much the same, even though the stories might be different.
Yeah.
I would think that they would keep that angle going.
Yeah, she... I want to say they were twins, if I remember right. It's been a while.
Oh, yeah, really? I don't know. I guess I'll have to do some research on on Alice.
Alice and her mom were killed. And the father, Kate's father, was only able to save Kate. And then, obviously, her father trained Kate, blah, blah, blah. And that's how she became who she is. In military background.
Right.
But, yeah, but... Alice in that one there, it's a good read, but yeah, it's pretty good. Just go go find that right there, and you'll
have to look into it.
The the drawing, the art in that is really good because you've seen the artwork for Batwoman and how they have certain pages, like they'll have. It's hard to describe, but it's a typical comic on most pages, but then they'll have a full page, you know, when you open it up and you got double page thing, whatever.
A double page spread, yeah.
And it's just really, really detailed and high contrast art that's really nice and it almost like unique to a Batwoman. Like when you open a Batwoman book, you know that that's a Batwoman book. But then when they get into the whole thing with Alice, it really looks like it's almost like the drawing Alice in Wonderland. It's a different type of artwork. It's more pastels. It's not as high contrast. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Hmm. It's a good read too. Pretty interesting. And it's,
I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
I'll add it to my giant stack of books that I have to read and get it somewhere near the top. All right, so moving on, Terry Moore tweeted out this week that he's writing a script for a Hulu series for Motor Girl, issue number one. So Motor Girl came out about 2 years ago, maybe, so it's not that old, and so it shouldn't be too hard to find. It's selling now for about $15, might be able to find it still for a little bit less. You know, again, this is just a script. There's, you know, I don't know that it's going to be put into production. Lots of scripts and options get picked up, but Motor Girl could be interesting if it goes forward, so look for that. And then yesterday, Marvel and Hulu announced their new animated universe that is going to appear on Hulu. These are four different shows with a really weird cast of characters. The biggest one, I guess, would be the Howard the Duck, because it's going to be written by Kevin Smith.
That seems about right.
Yeah. And I believe MODOK is going to be written by Patton Oswalt. So, you know, some pretty big name creators working on these. So, once again, we're going to get four animated shows. We've got MODOK, Howard the Duck. We've got Dazzler and Tigra. And then Hitmonkey. So, not A-listers by any means, as far as characters go. And they're going to make up a group called the Offenders. So, I don't know if these shows are all going to cross over with one another. Like, I don't know where the Offenders shows up. maybe that becomes a fifth show later on where they all kind of like Netflix did with the Defenders. They all get their own season.
Yeah.
And then we get the Offenders later on. I don't know exactly how that's going to work.
So,
but
which
you know,
one
obviously
of these
all
is
these...
going to be the Iron Fist?
Right. I'll go out on a limb and say Dazzler and Tigra. The other ones just seem more interesting to me. I don't know. So obviously the first appearances of all these characters took a little bump yesterday. So I'm just going to run down the list of what the first appearances are for these characters. I don't have any pricing necessarily attached to it. But Tigra, her first appearance was in Giant-Sized Creatures number 1. Howard the Duck was Adventures into Fear number 19. MODOK was Tales of Suspense number 94. Hitmonkey was in Hitmonkey number 1. And Dazzler was Uncanny X-Men number 130. I know the Dazzler book has some value, and so does the Howard the Duck. I don't think the other ones are super expensive, but so we'll see. You know, again, this seems like it's a lock. These are all going to go into production and go forward. I don't know how long of a life they'll get. I guess it depends on their viewership on Hulu. What seems strange to me about this, and I don't know if, again, if this is something we were going to bring up later or not, but, you know, it seems to me that Marvel was doing everything they could to move all their properties off of Netflix to have them available for their Disney Plus app. And then they announced this deal with Hulu, where they're going to put new properties on Hulu.
But so Hulu is owned by Disney.
Right. So I was going to say there is some precedent here because actually, if you think about it, Disney owns 30% of Hulu. But you know who else owns 30% of Hulu? Fox.
Right.
So,
but Disney,
so when the Fox deal clinches, Disney now owns 60% of Hulu.
Right.
So it makes sense from that standpoint why they would want to have this content on Hulu. And I guess the speculation that came to my mind was that they could keep some of their more adult titles. They could put them on Hulu.
Right.
And then keep their Disney Plus stuff a little bit more PG rated.
Right.
So we speculated a while back about whether we might see some of the Netflix properties on the Disney Plus app.
Right.
And we argued back and forth. We disagreed, but I said no. But now you could see, I could see a world where they could resurrect on Hulu.
But I think Hulu will be absorbed into the Disney Plus app. So
it could, but there's other studios and other properties involved in Hulu that wouldn't necessarily. Like, you're not going to get The Handmaid's Tale on the Disney Plus app, which is a Hulu original show. Disney Plus would never run that show on their.
Well, not on theirs, but on Hulu.
Well, right. But, so I don't see Hulu going away and being folded into Disney Plus.
Well, maybe the landscape. I had this conversation, yesterday in a store, and it's the whole landscape is going to be completely redone because just like the WB app they're talking about already. And people are like, oh, what's going to happen to DC Universe? It's going to go away. It's going to get absorbed. It's going to do this. From all the conversations that I've read about is people are talking about, now these are people from these studios saying like the Disney app is going to be user friendly. You're going to be able to pick and choose. The WB app is saying there's going to be three tiers. There's going to be a tier for original content, a tier for all of their content, the WB. And then the third tier is both of them combined. But I think within all of that, it's like you're going to go into your WB app and then you're going to be able to, there's going to be DC Universe will be in there, an icon for it or something. Same with the Disney app. But these are us, two morons sitting here speculating.
Right.
But the idea is everything's going to change. It's, and all of this streaming stuff, it's getting so big people cutting the cords. I had one conversation with a guy today saying, like, oh, maybe there's going to be a sports streaming service where you just, you know, it's like everything's going to this. And
you could, but I mean, you already have ESPN and you do have sports streaming,
which
apps
is
already.
Owned by Disney.
Right.
So,
well, but I do know that part of the deal with their acquiring Fox is it requires them to sell off a bunch of sports networks.
Oh,
as
really?
Part of the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, the FCC doesn't
monopoly
want to have that monopoly on sporting events. So, they don't care about movies, I guess, but sports is.
Well,
yeah,
you can have a monopoly on your own creative content, I guess.
Right. So I know that they are – I don't think they're selling ESPN necessarily, but a lot of the networks, a lot of the Fox Sports networks, I think are going to be sold off by Disney once that deal goes through.
Wow. So, all right, so. Let's get back to comics because
– All right, yeah.
But, yeah, well, it's, the whole entire thing is going to change it and all of these apps. And I don't think any of the content that we're watching now is going away. What I think is going to happen, it's all going to be more centrally located for us to use.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I mean, the DC or the Disney app, I'm sorry, is that I'm really looking forward to because the way it goes with DC Universe, if you want to find anything, you know where to go.
Right.
With Marvel content, you have to search the entire internet to find, like, a Spider-Man cartoon.
Right, but you can, you know... We already have something like the Apple TV, let's say.
Yeah.
You know, you go to your Apple TV, and it's signed into all the services that you have a membership to. But then you don't have – you can search for shows through the Apple TV, and it just pulls it up wherever it happens to be.
Right.
So I think what we're going to get is more of those type of universal interfaces for all of this streaming content.
Right.
And you'll just search Titans, and it – you know, through your Apple TV, and it'll just play it wherever it, you know, wherever it lives. So
if you have a subscription to that, though.
If you have a subscription to that. Well, that's the thing. You'll still have to have subscriptions to, but, you know, and again, we've had this argument a few times, and I don't necessarily want to rehash it, but I don't want to have to pay separately for the DC Universe if I'm paying for the Warner Brothers app.
Right. No, I
don't
think you'll
necessarily have to pay more for Hulu if I'm already paying for Disney Plus and it's wrapped into Hulu. So how all that's going to work, we don't know still.
Right.
But if they're going to start to encompass each other, then they should fall under one subscription plan.
Right.
And I don't know, like, if that was the case all along, why did they even bother with the DC Universe app? Why didn't they just release the Warner Brothers app?
It's not ready.
Well, but... you could argue that neither was DC Universe, but they brought it out and, you know, they made it ready. So, I don't know. Like I said, that's another argument for another day. Let's get back into comics.
Let's not argue. It's Valentine's Day.
Exactly. Valentine's Day is for lovers.
Oh, boy.
Like Virginia.
the state.
Yeah, I'm a license plate now.
Yeah.
So, FOC... FOC books for this coming Monday. Let's talk about DC variant covers. Once again, I mentioned it last week. I'm going to say it again. Shame on DC because none of their variant cover art is available to look at today. I know it's a couple days before final order cutoff is due, but we should have access to these covers already so we could start planning. So big shame on DC for that. But what we do have on FOC from DC is the Detective Comics 1000. And all those covers were revealed a couple of weeks ago, actually. So there are 13 covers for Detective Comics number 1000. There's a regular Jim Lee cover. There's the blank cover, which is just, you know, white cardboard basically wrapped around the regular cover. And then there's 10 decades covers. So there's a 1940s, 1950s, 1960s, et cetera. And then they just announced today a Midnight Party release variant cover, which brings us up to 13. These are $9.99 a piece. So stores are not going to go super heavy on every single cover. Like, I can't order, as a retailer, 15 to 20 copies of 13 different covers. So, if you want some of these covers, I would suggest you get in to your stores and you get these ordered. I say it all the time, but this one is actually, you know, it has a little bit more, I guess, emphasis behind it, because you are not going to see stores going heavy. Like, when Action Comics 1000 hit last year, for me, I ordered everything I pre-sold, and then most covers only like three copies of each for the shelf. And I'm going to probably run the same for Detective. So if you want them, I would suggest you get in and order them ahead of time. That way I'll order anything anybody wants as long as I know about it before the cutoff comes. And if you want a set of these covers, you know, a lot of stores are doing deals for all the sets. So you might be able to talk to your individual store on that. But this is a historic book. You know, it's only the second comic book in history ever to hit 1,000 issues. First one we just talked about was Action Comics.
Yep.
Arguably, Batman is a more popular character than Superman. So even though it's not the same milestone because it didn't do it first, a lot more people care about Batman. So these are going to be in demand, and people are going to be buying them up. And there's some pretty good talent involved in putting the book together. So I would definitely get in there and get this ordered. And this, honestly, this doesn't even include probably the 20 or 25 other store-specific variant covers that are being done by different artists and stores out there. So collecting all of these is quite a feat,
yeah,
really.
Expensive, but fun.
And it's expensive. You know, even 13, you know, 13 covers is $130.
Right.
That's nothing to sneeze at, you know. But if you think about it from a store level, you know, that's $70-ish per set for the store. So you can understand why they're not going super – most of them won't go super crazy and have, you know, 15 or 20 sets available on the shelf.
Right.
Because it's a lot of money to lay out to do that. So
just going in and looking at the covers is fun, though, too. And even if you don't get the whole set, you look at all of them. Pick your favorite one or two, even.
It's... The majority of people don't buy them all. There's a hardcore completionist that do get all of them. And I will sell several. I already have, you know, full sets. But for the most part, people will go in, like you said, they'll find the cover that they like or the artist that they like, and that's the one they'll pick up.
Yeah.
But as a store owner, it's hard to know which one people are going to gravitate towards. That's why on something like this, knowing ahead of time is definitely beneficial. So moving off of that, DC has one new series. Actually, it's not even a series. It's really just a one-shot issue, but it's The Batman Who Laughs, The Grim Knight number one. So if you're reading The Batman Who Laughs series, obviously The Grim Knight is in that book. Yep. He's getting a spinoff for this. There's going to be three covers for that. They're all open to order, so you can get whichever one you want. There's the regular cover, the blank cover, and the Gabriel Del Auto cover, which, again, is not available to view today. So I don't know what it looks like, but I do know that he is, you know, a pretty sought-after artist. His variant covers on The Amazing Spider-Man last year were all really, really good and are selling for quite a bit over cover price now. So, I would try to get in and get that one ordered, even if you can't. By the time you get in by Monday, you should be able to see it. But right now, I can't tell you what it looks like. Moving into Marvel, there's a couple of variant covers. We talked last week about the Spider-Man Villains Month. So there's two of note this month. That's the Spider-Gwen Ghost Spider number 6 and X-23 number 10. Both of those are really good-looking covers. And those are the ones I would look for as far as the Spidey villains go. Three new series from Marvel next week. Age of Conan Bleat. This is issue number one of a 5-issue miniseries. So this is the third Conan series that was announced when Marvel talked about regaining the license to Conan. Bleat is a a pirate character that has appeared in Conan off and on throughout the years. So she's going to have her own miniseries. As per usual, this is a Marvel book, so there's umpteen covers available for it. Some will be open to order and some of them won't. So go in there and see what's available and get them ordered. There is a one really good looking cover by Tanaka, I think is the name. The artist that does the Monstrous series over at Image. That cover looks to be one of the best, so you might want to get in and check that out. Age of X-Man, Apocalypse, and X-Tracks number 1. This is also of a 5-issue miniseries. So this is the continuing Age of X-Man, Apocalypse storyline that's been going on. This is the 3rd miniseries, I think, that they're launching out of this. And I call this one the Nobody Cares Anymore miniseries.
Okay.
Because they're actually just kind of getting a little bit out of hand with this Age of X-Man story. Each one of these series, I've sold less copies than the one before because you're just asking too much from the readers to commit to, you know, 6 different miniseries all at the same time, you know, revolving this storyline. But if that's your thing, there's various covers available for this too. So go in there and take a look at them. And The Magnificent Miss Marvel, issue number 1 comes out. Well, again, it goes up on order Monday. So Miss Marvel number 38 just came out this week, and that was the last issue of Miss Marvel. And now we're getting The Magnificent Miss Marvel number 1. I don't know why we're changing titles or numbering to get the same exact character in the same book. This is likely to be the same as what you've been reading. If you're a Miss Marvel fan, you want to move over and pick up Magnificent Miss Marvel number 1. If you weren't reading it before, you're probably still not going to read it. So, again, this is just like what they did with Daredevil just a couple weeks ago. I don't know why every time we change creative teams, we have to relaunch books. but that's exactly what they're doing. They have a new writer and artist, and so they're getting a brand new number 1 issue instead of just being Miss Marvel number 39. It's out there for order. So like I said, if you're already reading Miss Marvel, you're probably going to read this one too. So make sure you go to your store. The biggest thing is making sure that your subscription transitions over to the new series if you're already getting it, because it doesn't happen automatically for stores. So
yeah, well, I think sometimes the reason they start at 1 again is to I think that helps to attract new people. Because
they say that's an age old, again, I think a fallacy too, but
yeah, but I look for that too. If I see something has a 1 on it, I'll be like, oh, what's that? And you know, it draws, it piques my interest. And then once you figure out what it is, I'm fine with that. But a lot of times, you never know. Somebody coming
in. Yeah, but it just loses its effectiveness when it happens all the time. You know, even last week we talked about Red Sonja. And Red Sonja went 25 issues, ended, changed creative teams, and launched back last week with issue number 1. There's no reason for that. That could just be issue 26 of Red Sonja. What relaunching it does is it actually causes confusion for people that come to it a little bit later on. Because now you go to your back issue bins and there's Red Sonja number 1, then there's Red Sonja number 1, then there's Red Sonja number 1, and you don't know which one to read first. You don't know where it is in order. Whereas if it was just issue 26... you know it comes right after 25. And it, to me, that's easier than all this renumbering and relaunching all the time.
Yeah. But that you're also looking at it from the perspective of a fan that wants to keep it going. They're looking at, okay, we'll run 25 and then we'll run another 25. And then hopefully each time we bring in a new set of, customers, where you're already a customer and, okay, well, so what? Too bad. It's confusing for you, but we don't care about you anymore. We have you. We're trying to get new people. So,
yeah, but inevitably, what that does, for as many people as they attract to jump on, that also gives a great jumping off point yeah. for people that are tired of it. You know? Oh, it ended at 25. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm tired of this. Yeah. So I'm not going right. to go to, you know, I'm not going to go to issue one. So I think, and it might be less, you know, the percentage of new people is probably less than the percentage of drop-offs. But there is some drop-off there, too.
Yeah. Well, they can't all keep going to 1,000 like Detective Comics. Right.
Well, I just think, you know, I have this conversation in store all the time with people.
Just like you're having now in the store.
Right. But think back to when you and I were young.
Oh.
Right? When we went into the store to buy our comic books, we didn't wait for the number one issue. Because back then, they didn't do that. Every single book that was on the stands back then were just, you know, long-running series that were already hundreds of issues deep.
Yeah.
You know? And
no, you just picked it up,
whatever number it was. Your first issue of Spider-Man might be like 227, whatever it is. Who knows?
Yep.
And you just pick it up and you start reading it.
Yep.
And that's that, you know, and then you just get in the swing of things.
Right.
You don't wait for the new number one. But you don't wait for all this stuff.
But that was, to go over it again, that's what was so hard for me getting back into all this. It's when you had such a foundation of knowledge of comic books and then you're away from it for a while. When you come back, it's like you want to be right back in it and you're lost. But you forget, like you just said, you forget that it's like we'd pick up when you were a kid, you didn't care. So you just picked up a book. And then when you're reading it, it'll say in the book, they'll reference something from a previous issue and that'll make you go back and start that story arc. So
But you also didn't feel compelled to go back and buy issues 1 through 226.
Nope. No,
you
didn't.
You just picked it up.
Yep.
And you went, you know. Batman was in the issue 400s or 500s when I was a kid. There was already 500 issues of it. I wasn't going back to collect all those 500 issues. I just picked it up and started reading. And if that was the way it worked today, that's what people would still do.
Right, but do you think...
But somewhere along the line...
But
it is, but somewhere along the line, these companies decided that the only way to get new readers was to start back in issue number one again.
Right.
But it never used to be that way.
Well, that's the – I mean, I had this conversation this week too about independent, you know, independent publishers and how they're the kind of the future. But, you know, Marvel and DC are doing their thing where it's just – they just keep rehashing where the independent people can do whatever they want. They have less of restrictions. But
the independent publishers definitely have – less constraints because they don't have these corporate juggernauts behind them like Time Warner and Disney are behind Marvel and DC. But they're still always going to be such a small fraction of the marketplace. Like Image is arguably the number three publisher, but it is such a smaller percentage compared to Marvel and DC is what they get for sales.
I don't
and
know, Lone Ranger and...
in the $6 million man,
I'm buying stock in Dynamite. I'll tell you that.
Right. Well, and they got the Green Hornet, and they've got you name it.
Hopefully, the Fall Guy.
That's right, and T.J. Hooker. Don't forget T.J. Hooker.
But
all right.
You're right. It's like you should be. I think the part I was going to say is, do you think it has to do with how we are as a society now, where everything has a long story arc? TV shows now run a full season. If you miss an episode, everything has to be tied in. You know what I mean? It's like when we were kids, you watched Chips, and you didn't need to see the week before or after. It was a special event when it went 2 episodes. You know,
and
now everything is so huge.
Well, I'm sure that's part of it. But the other part is, as a society, we have the attention span of a fruit fly, you know. And
true.
Everything has to be new and fresh. And I don't know. I think we've created that in some, you know, we created the monster.
And well, now we're feeding the monster. We didn't create it. We are it.
well, yeah.
You know what I mean? We are the monster, and they're only producing what we want. It's like, if we don't want it, they don't do it. So
right, but talk to most hardcore comic collectors, and they don't want that. You know, they don't want all these relaunches. They don't want all these number ones. They right. don't want but it like, to start over and over and over again.
Like I've
because
said
the
before,
number
though.
One loses its luster. When you've got five new number one Spider-Man comics in a five-year span, it's not special anymore. You know, even when they did in the 90s when we had Amazing Spider-Man and then Todd McFarlane got his Spider-Man series and it started at number one, it was still kind of a big deal because it didn't happen all the time and there right. was something a little bit special to it. But if we would have got a new number one the next year and then the year after that, at what point does it not matter anymore?
Yeah.
And I think now we're at that point where it just relaunches so often. And Marvel's more – and I hate to always – I don't always want to be bashing on Marvel, but Marvel's more guilty of this than DC is. DC does their big, you know, New 52 and Rebirth, but they last 5 or 6 years. They have a little bit of time behind them. Marvel relaunches titles like every other week, and it seems like some of them don't even get to 10, 11, 12 issues, and they're relaunching again. And I just don't think there's anything special about that anymore. I just don't think you pick up any more readers than you do with just having your new number one. Or, nope. you know, number...
Yeah.
Number 13 or whatever the next number would be. But anyway, so moving on.
Here's a horrible segue in that light. Moving okay. on to your first recommended reading.
Yeah. So recommended reading. So in the spirit of Valentine's Day, I loved Wonder Twins number one. We talked about it a few weeks ago when we had the,
yeah,
you know, the three
we
or four page preview. Couldn't wait for it.
We were wrong.
It turns out that the 4 page preview was actually the first 4 pages or 5 pages of this issue.
Right.
I don't know if you got a chance to read it or how you felt about it, but
yeah,
I loved it. I thought the humor was great. It was definitely not the tone that I thought it was going to be. It very much did not take itself seriously. It felt like a Super Friends
okay, BG.
Cartoon almost. I don't know. What'd you think? I liked it.
I loved it. It was so good. It's funny. You had texted me and said you read it and you loved it, and I hadn't read it yet. I hadn't gotten home yet. And I was like, okay, well, that didn't spoil it. I thought it was really good.
Well, no, I didn't tell you anything about it.
No,
I
know,
I
but
it.
You know when sometimes people tell you, like, oh, I
oh,
love
yeah,
something.
Oh, yeah, you get high expectations.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't get that. But it was. It was really
that's
good.
Because you don't take my recommendations that seriously, that's why.
No, that's not true. But we were wrong about the whole Xan. And, like,
yeah.
what he was saying in front of the class just to get their attention.
Thunderlust.
Yeah, Thunderlust. And
yeah.
I thought it was a great story. My wife, you know, works in a high school. I was like, this would be good for some of your students to read. And I was
yeah.
telling her about it. It is. It's really good. The humor was really good.
It was great.
The you didn't hear me with the BG?
Oh, I heard you. Yeah, I got it.
That was really funny.
And I couldn't help but think of, you know, Young Justice when Wonder
right.
Woman was like, I'm underwhelmed. I'm
yeah.
very underwhelmed.
Yeah, exactly. I think they did that on purpose. And
right,
it's like,
I think
too. I don't want to give the BG line away in the character.
Right, no, I don't
but
either.
It's the character that, I mean, it comes from. It's
right.
It's not expected. It's great. It's so good. It really is. It's the humor is awesome. The story is really good. The ending is really
good.
It was
really good.
Yeah, it was so good. It's just a really good book. I can't wait for the next one. And
I can't either. I thought it was so good. I was originally just going to read it.
Yeah,
and
same
that was
going
to be it. And I read it, and I put it right in my subscription box at the store. And I was like, well, I'm going to buy this one and take it home because I really liked it. It's a 6-issue miniseries, so I'll pick up the whole thing. And originally I wasn't going to, so
I'm actually disappointed it's only 6.
I know.
After the first book, I'm like, oh, I want this to keep going.
Yeah.
And it's like, I still have 5 more to read, but
hopefully they won't let us down by issue 2, but.
No, just duplicate that. It's
right.
I mean, the
just
humor of the story, wherever the story arc goes.
Just do it five more times and you're good.
Yeah, it was, and you don't have to be a fan of the Super Friends from the
70s
and 80s, but I mean that helps us obviously. But it was a fun story. It was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked it.
So, definitely highly recommended.
Yes, go out and pick out Wonder Twins number 1. You won't be disappointed. And then from Marvel, and I did two big, I did DC and Marvel this week with my recommended reading, which I don't usually do. I tried to stick with the independents, but there just wasn't a lot that came out this week. So my second book is from Marvel. You probably could guess what it is. Savage Sword of Conan, issue number 1. I've made no secret of my love for Conan. I really do. Now, I will say that I don't think this
is a lucky woman.
I know, right? I don't think this is quite as good as the Conan the Barbarian series, but it is still very good. Savage Sword of Conan is basically a relaunch. Marvel used to do the Savage Sword of Conan magazine back in the day when they had Conan the first time around. So this is not magazine. It is comic-sized, but it seems a little bit, which will seem weird to say because Conan is obviously a gritty character anyways, but this one seems a little grittier than the Conan the Barbarian series. But I really liked it a lot. Pretty good story. No surprises. It's Conan. You know what you're going to get with a Conan story. But this one here, he's out at sea and gets trapped on his ship with some pirates, and it's pretty interesting. So if you like Conan, you'll like this. If you're not a Conan reader, it probably won't be your cup of tea. But
if you like pirates, you might like this.
If you like pirates, yeah, you might like that too. Not a lot of pirate books out there, so but I can't promise pirates in issue 2, so pick up issue 1 of Savage Sword of Conan. And that's it. Those are the two recommended readings. Recommended books that I have for this week.
All right.
So
I have two, and I picked mine in the spirit of Valentine's Day. The first one is Batman Volume 7, The Wedding.
Ah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Controversial.
Yeah. Yeah, very. Did you read it?
I read the issues as they came out.
Okay.
But yeah, so, I've read it. I read the story.
Yeah, it's Batman issues 45 through 50, 50 right. being The Wedding. What did you think
of it? Spoilers.
Yeah, we don't have to get into spoilers, but I mean.
Well, I can't. It's hard for me to talk about without spoiling at least a part of it. But all right. How do I say it without spoiling it? I liked the story, and I liked where that issue ended story-wise. Like, I understand why they did what they did,
yeah.
And I actually like the way it sets up the story going forward.
Yeah.
What I don't necessarily like is all the build-up that surrounded that, and then what the outcome of the story was. So I don't know if that spoils anything or not.
No.
But I think we were sold one thing and we got something else. And fans were not really too thrilled with that. Like the backlash that I heard from people in the store after that issue came out was pretty negative. Issue 50.
Yeah.
Because if you think about if you were reading then, you had those 5 issues or so, 6 issues of the story, but there were also like 6 other Prelude to the Wedding
right.
issues,
that was
like Ra's al Ghul, and right.
You had that whole build up, so, like 40 through 44, whatever it was.
Well, right, but I'm saying even you had these like separate Prelude to the Wedding issues. There was like 6 different tie-in right. books. Like I said, one of them was Damien and Ra's al Ghul. For some reason, that's the only one I can remember. But all the different Bat villains had these lead-up to the story too. So they really hyped the wedding, the Bat and the Cat wedding, and it was a big build up. And as consumers, we spent a lot of money buying all of these books leading up to that.
Yeah.
And then we got what we got.
Right.
Which I know I'm spoiling it by trying not to spoil it, but I guess what were your thoughts? Did you read it just now? Or are you just reading it, or had you read it already?
Well, I had read it, but then I wanted to read Volume 7, just the wedding. Okay. Just to, right. And then just make an opinion of that. And I think Volume 7 pretty much encapsulates everything that you just said, where the first, 45, 46, and 47, you're like, what is this? You know what I mean? It's leading you in one direction. You don't understand. Right. It's kind of all over the place. But then as you get towards the end, it gets a little bit, you know, it kind of wraps up, and I agree with you. It doesn't go the way you wanted it to or were expecting it to. But the book itself, as far as like the wedding and Valentine's Day and all of that, I thought the book did a really good job of, especially the wedding itself, issue 50, portraying how much they cared about each other.
Right.
And what I really liked is all the different artwork that they did. You remember?
That made it feel a little disjointed.
I liked it. It seemed like it made it feel like, I know what you're saying in disjointed, like you went from the story and then you went to their, it's not a spoiler really, their letter. Like they wrote a letter to each other. And I thought those letters the letters were really well written. I thought that was a fun part of the story. It really showed like how they felt about each other, and then it brought you to the ending, and you understood the ending. You may not have liked it, but you understood it.
I guess I'm trying to think back because I don't know the order of things, and maybe this was in one of the spinoffs, but I think it was probably, was issue like 49? Was that the Joker and Catwoman?
Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome. I thought that was awesome. Yep.
That was great. Like
that was one of my favorite.
I thought
parts
that whole
too.
Issue, was fantastic.
Yes. And it's that relationship, and how she talked about, you know, Batman. There's some good lines in there, some funny. It's actually a pretty humorous issue.
Right.
The way they got along, Joker and Catwoman.
And Catwoman.
And then talking about it actually in the spirit of Valentine's Day, the whole relationship of Batman and the Joker.
Yeah.
You know, is really summed up really well in that issue as well.
Well, and again, I'm trying to think back, and maybe this was one of the spinoffs, but was there the Joker, when he kind of broke into that guy's house because he was looking for his invitation?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was
that's
that part
in,
of that
that's
too?
In there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, to that me, again, I thought thing. Was really, really great. It was very well done.
Yeah.
And
that, yeah, that, it, the whole thing, it's, it, I think what you're talking about, that's, if you haven't seen, Volume 7 then, right?
Well, I have it at the store, but I haven't read it because I've read that story already. So.
Right, but just flip
I don't
it
know
open,
what,
you'll see exactly what you're talking about. You'll know, you know, issue 45, 46, you'll flip through it and you'll be like, uh-huh, okay. And it starts off, let's just say, starts off with Green Lantern.
Okay.
Does that ring a bell?
Trying to remember. Yeah.
And Booster Gold?
Yeah.
Okay. So it starts off with that, and Booster Gold bringing a gift.
Okay.
That story. So that's kind of, you know, where it goes from there. But it is a good story. I thought it was fun. I thought it was, you know, like you said, controversial, which is always fun to be a part of. So
I guess we haven't, you know, we've tried to not say it, but we've said it anyway, so I'm just going to say it, right? Like, they don't get married. Anybody that reads Batman already knows they don't get married.
Oh, yeah.
So Well, I don't know if that's real. So I don't consider that a huge spoiler at this point, because I think pretty much everybody knows that they didn't get married.
They do a Romeo and Juliet.
Right, but what I loved about the whole thing was that the whole thing was undone by one phrase. You know, basically one sentence undoes the whole wedding. It undoes the whole thing.
Yeah.
It sends Catwoman spiraling in her mind to the conclusion that, you know, they can't be together, they can't get married. And I thought that, like, from a storytelling standpoint, I thought it was fantastic. Like, I loved...
Right. And it actually makes sense, too.
It does make sense. That's what I'm saying. From a storytelling standpoint, and where it leads us going out of that issue to the next story arcs and going forward to even where we are now, I love all of that. Like, I think it was very well written and well done. I just think we were sold a wedding, and we didn't get it. So
let me look at it this way. It's just like anybody that showed up to a wedding, and the wedding gets canceled.
Well, I mean, right, it happens. I know it happens in real life, too.
Exactly, but the disappointment of the guests, the disappointment. We were, so if you're reading the story arc, you're a guest. And then, yeah, you're going to be disappointed. So that's why I said, like, it's fun to be part of this controversy. When you get to the end, you're like, and I know, like you said, it's.
And I think the disappointment is because I wanted to fanboy over the whole thing. Like, I like that relationship, but I want Bruce and Selina to be together, you know?
Right.
I want Lois and Clark to be together. I want Peter and Mary Jane to be together.
Right.
And I want Bruce and Selina to be together. So that was disappointing.
What we haven't said is why they aren't, and that's the true part. I mean, if you're following,
well, right,
Batman
and I don't
all,
want to, right, and I'm not
so
going to say
giving
that
away, but it right. is a it's it, it the way they wrote it, it made it it makes a lot of sense to everything, to the entire legacy. So it's almost like had they gotten married, you'd be like it. The way they wrote it, it almost would have been disappointing. It's you know what I mean? Like you have to read the story. Obviously, you and I know what we're talking about, but it's almost like they wouldn't be who they are. So
one could argue that they've been together for 30 issues or so in the comics.
Yeah,
right. Leading up to it, and they were both functioning just fine. So, yeah. I mean, it could have gone on like that indefinitely.
So, if you haven't read the story, read the story and let us know, because I really liked it. I understand the controversy, but it's just like any other wedding you go to. You'd be like, why did we come here? Well, that's exactly what this book is like. And I really enjoyed it. So my other one is, like you said, Mary Jane and Peter.
Yeah.
MJ and Peter, Amazing Spider-Man, Renew Your Vows. Did you read that one?
I have.
Okay.
I don't know which series that you're reading, one, the first or the second.
War Zones.
Well, there was a five-issue miniseries.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, that's the first one.
Yeah, part one. Yeah, Renew Your Vows, Secret Wars, takes place on, an alternate Earth?
Yeah.
And Peter, Mary Jane, and their daughter, what's her name?
Annie.
Annie, that's it. Yeah, so I picked that. I'd never even heard of that.
I loved it.
I loved it.
I really liked it, yeah.
I loved it. I loved the ending. Was really good. We won't give that away. But I didn't know. I didn't even know that story arc existed. I was just looking for Spider-Man and Mary Jane stuff, and I came across that. So,
what I really liked about it is at that time, the new Amazing Spider-Man series hadn't started yet, which brought Peter and Mary Jane back together, obviously. But so at that time when this came out. In the main Amazing Spider-Man.
When did this come out, like a year ago?
No, it's No, it's been a little while, like 3 years probably.
Really?
Yeah, because it was a 5-issue miniseries, and then it came back as a series that ran for 25 issues.
Oh, wow.
So it's been out for a little while. So what I really liked about it is you got that glimpse into Peter's life if he stayed with Mary Jane and they had a kid,
right,
stayed married. And we weren't getting that anywhere else, so I really liked that. And then I liked the way the story developed. I liked Annie. I liked Mary Jane kind of borrowing Peter's powers, and, you know, they were all spider, you know, and maybe that, I don't know, maybe I'm telling you stuff that didn't happen till the next series. I don't know, but
yeah, in this one, the first five, Mary Jane doesn't have any powers. She gets a suit.
All right. Well, so by the time when it launches into its main series later on, the 25, 26 issue series, they all basically are spider people, and they go out at night and they all spider together
family.
And as a family. And I really liked it.
Yeah. That's how this one kind of ends.
Yeah.
But the beginning is, it's actually kind of scary where the whole entire, the story, how it starts out with them and all of the Avengers and X-Men and, the world that they're living in, it's not our Earth, it's a different Earth. But the world that they're living in, they have to hide their powers. And so it takes off from there. You start off with Annie as a baby.
Right.
And then by the end of the, you know, the fifth book, she's, what, like 10, I think? Something like that. 8 or 10 years old.
Yeah, but she's young.
She's young.
And if you liked that, I do recommend going forward with it, because I think around issue 8 or 10 of the series, they do like an 8-year time jump. And so, you know, they come back to her when she's like 18 years old, and they've been kind of practicing for a while now. And it really gets pretty good. It's a great story arc.
Yeah. I'll definitely pick up the next book.
Yeah.
Because you get it in the trades. That's how
it's probably three trades, maybe four trades for the next series.
Yeah.
It's really
quick read too. I read it and I sat down and read the whole thing in half hour, 40 minutes.
Right.
And it's, it was really good. I had a really good time with it, and it's definitely a good Valentine's read.
Yeah, for sure.
Like you said, especially if you were reading it back then with where they weren't together. They're back together now. So that's what I got from my recommendations.
Okay.
And did you get a chance to read this week Batman Who Laughs or the Flash?
No. I read those two books today, and that's all I got a chance to read today.
Okay. Then we won't talk about it.
No. I do have I guess to recommend something that came out last week, though. I did finally get a chance to read yesterday, and we didn't talk about it last week, but the Superman 100-page special that came out last week, I don't know if you got a chance to see this.
I
read it the other night, and this was an awesome story. So this was Marv Wolfman, who did the team, basically co-creator of the new Teen Titans. This was his quote-unquote favorite Superman story that he ever wrote. And so this was written many years ago for a new Superman series that was supposed to launch. And it was a four-issue miniseries. And it was written, drawn, inked. I mean, it was done. It was ready to go. And then they pulled the plug on, and it never came out. So finally they've released all four issues in one 100-page book. And it's basically, if you watched, I don't want to say the end of Smallville, because by the end of Smallville, I guess I would say that. If you watched Smallville, the end of that series, he's just coming into his own. He puts the suit on and decides he's going to go to Metropolis and become Superman. So this is the story of, say, the next day.
When he
day.
First gets there.
Right. Yep. The very next day, he's moved to Metropolis, and he's trying to figure out how to be Superman. So it's kind of like some of that stuff would have already happened on Smallville. Maybe this is a bad analogy, but it's basically like he moves to Metropolis, and then he has to figure everything out. He has to figure out, I mean, he's super strong, but he doesn't know how to be Superman. He doesn't know how to do a lot of these things. He doesn't know how his secret identity is going to work. It kind of talks about, you know, which we never really, it never really gets thought of, but the Daily Planet is up there with, like, the New York Times and the Washington Post. Like, it's supposed to be, like, a top three newspaper in the world. they're not going to hire a guy from Kansas who wrote for his high school newspaper to work for the Daily Planet.
Right.
So it's kind of like how he gets the job. It was really, like, he never puts on the suit through the whole 100 issues. It's just him as Clark Kent going around trying to figure out how to be Superman. But it was great. Like, I had such a good time reading that book that I was upset when it was over, knowing that it's never going to go anywhere because it ended. But when you've got a writer of the caliber of you know, Marv Wolfman, and he's done the things he's done, when he says this is his favorite story, your ears should perk up and you should take notice. And it's his favorite story for a reason. And then the artist, and I'm going to say, because I wasn't really prepared to talk about this, so some Italian guy, I can't remember his name. It's not somebody that I knew, though. Like, I don't know his name now. But the art is great. Like, it's really, really good. It's very well written, very well drawn. I highly recommend going and picking that up. It's $7.99 or $9.99. I don't remember what it cost, but it's well worth it. Go out and get that book because it's fantastic.
Yeah. They were on DC Daily. They did a whole feature with Marv.
Okay.
And he talked, he said basically everything you said about it being his favorite story. He, you know, and it got scrapped and stuff like that, but he was really excited listening to him talk about it. He was really excited.
Yeah. There's a great, like, 3-page foreword that he wrote, you know, in it to explain all that, and it's worth the read too. That kind of explains everything I just said. But
cover art was art and cover by Claudio Castellini.
Okay, so that sounds right, but I don't know who. Well, obviously it is right because you're reading it. But
no,
but I don't
it just
know who
came
he
to
is.
Me.
Right, but I don't know who he is. Like, I don't. He's not somebody that I'm familiar with now. I don't know if he's done other. He's probably done other comic work. And if I did the research, I'm sure I could find it. But it didn't jump out as somebody that I knew, but his artwork was really, really good.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of it now. It looks, yeah, it's really good. Yeah, definitely. I want to pick that up. I've had a lot to do this week, and that literally slipped my mind. But seeing him on DC Daily, I really wanted to get that book and literally just... I just put it in my reminders now that you brought it up. So definitely, if you're a Superman fan and Marv Wolfman, definitely pick that up. All right. So moving on, Valentine's Day theme. Did you see Death of Superman?
And I did.
Reign of Superman.
I did. I don't know how they tie into Valentine's Day, but I did see them both.
I can tell you.
I've watched them both 3 times this week.
So you liked them.
I did.
They're really good. They're really
good. Well, I watched them once, and then I played them at the store twice.
That's not
so
fair.
I didn't pay attention 3 times, but I ran it several times this week, back to back, because I really liked it.
I talked about Death of Superman a few weeks ago, and I said I thought it was different from the books.
It is, but not super different.
I get it.
The overarching story was very similar.
He dies.
Some of the events were a little different, but
some of the events were different, and I don't remember him not being with Lois like that in the books.
No, they were married. They had been together there, and they're really the whole Justice League wasn't as much of a part of it as they were in these two movies.
They weren't a part of it, and they were different characters, and that's the part that they were different characters that were involved. But that's the part that I thought when I saw Death of Superman, I was like, it's not. Yeah, Superman dies the same in the same fashion as the books, but it's a different story leading up to it.
Right.
Different things going on in the background, and that's that Valentine's Day thing. And these two movies together are literally, it's a love story.
It is.
Between,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Him and Lois. And I thought, you know, we'll get into, you know, okay, spoilers coming. Some of my favorite stuff was when they were sitting around the Justice League table and they're talking about, like,
I'm Batman.
Yeah, the Flash.
We need a chaperone for the dance. Who has to be convinced? Yeah. It's like, that is so awesome.
Yeah, him at the PTA meetings.
Yeah.
It's like, but that, and then talking about how, like, trying to explain to Superman that you should be getting married. You can't wait this long. And, like, how do you do it? And stuff like that. It just was, it was really funny. Flash was really good. So funny. But then, you know, when you get into Reign of Superman, wasn't as funny.
Wasn't as funny, but I felt like that followed the comics even more.
Yes.
Yeah,
that was more to the script.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, the whole Apocalypse Dark Side angle was completely new for these two movies. That wasn't really part of the comic storyline.
Easy to add
actual,
in, though.
Right, but the actual characters, the four Supermen themselves and the way they acted in that story was pretty similar to the comics.
It all wraps up with, you know, that whole Lois and Clark.
Right.
Trying to get together and that, you know, the way she could tell, and she tried to ask the Terminator Superman.
Oh, Cyborg Superman?
Yeah.
Or the Eradicator. No, the Cyborg Superman.
Cyborg Superman.
Hank Henshaw?
Yeah, Hank Henshaw. It's when she asked him, like, tell me a memory, and he didn't have one. But then when she asked the real Superman, what was your last memory? What was your last secret?
Right.
And I thought that was, you know, again, getting back into Valentine's Day, it's funny. I didn't watch them thinking of that until coming up on, you know, this podcast. And I was like, hey, it really is. It's like the whole thing from beginning to end, those two movies is just one giant, like, love story.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. But I don't know. I lost my train of thought there for a second. But overall, like, I thought they did a great job. Like, obviously, these were written, you know, they knew they were making two movies when they made the first one. But I just like that they've got this, like, the DC animated universe has a lot of continuity between all these movies that you're not really getting. It's kind of what we're clamoring for with the live action movies, and we're not really getting it. But they're killing it. They're killing it with these animated movies because the same voice actors are going from project to project.
Yeah.
And the animation style is the same. So you're seeing, like, they're the same versions that we got in Throne of Atlantis.
Yep.
You know, last year. So you really feel like you have this cohesive universe going on.
Really,
and then we're going
continuity.
Off into, we're going to, there's another movie coming at the end of Reign of Superman.
Yeah.
That's going to keep it going even further. So I just really like that they're building this kind of animated cinematic universe with all the same actors and the same art style. And there's so many stories they can mine with all of these characters with the Justice League. And like, this was not technically a Justice League movie. It was The Death of Superman. But it was a Justice League movie. It's kind of like...
Yeah.
Captain America Civil War was an Avengers movie, even though they didn't call it that. So, and Throne of Atlantis, the same thing. It was a Justice League movie. So, you could take all these characters and keep this together and build so many stories.
Yeah.
That
I'm really
kind of excited to see where they go with, you know, with all of this universe that they've got. So,
yeah, they can. The production quality is so good.
It's really
good. The
sound,
the score. It's like there was one part in Reign of Superman. There was one time when I'm sitting there and I'm like, the score, the background music was just like, it just kept playing and playing, right. And it was really setting the mood. And I was like, and it finally quieted down. I can't remember what happened, but when the music came down, and two characters spoke, you had a conversation. It really emphasized that. But it's like this is an animated movie, and it, right. But it's just really, really good.
Well, and it was really like they're really well written and really kind of poignant. Like at the end of Death of Superman, and you know, and I don't care what your religion is and whether you're religious or not, but you know, you have Bibowski or whatever his name is standing on the docks, like saying the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
After Superman died and asking God, it's like, you don't have to be religious or have these beliefs, but it was really heartfelt, and it was kind of a powerful moment when he was right. doing that. And it's funny to think that you're getting these out of cartoons.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Well, yeah, you don't have to be religious, but you should be able to recognize that people believe in religion.
Well, right,
and
right.
to
the,
incorporate
the significance
that,
of that.
Exactly. To incorporate that into, like you said, a cartoon. And make it as meaningful as it is. It just makes it that much more fun. It
right.
makes it that much more real. And at times you forget you're watching an animated movie. You get
well,
so
right.
engrossed
that's what I'm
in
saying.
The movie.
It had some really good undertones, you know, and things happening that, you know, like you said, you forget. You know, you're watching a kid's movie, basically. You know, these are cartoons. They're
yeah. I don't
you
even know.
Know
if they're
I mean,
just
the audience
kids movies.
No,
though.
But
they're,
if you think about it, like who goes to see these in the theaters? They're kids and parents taking their kids, and for the most part, they're made for.
Well, they don't really go to the movies. This
some
I mean,
well
these
most of these are direct to video or
direct to video, and it's I wanted to see these in the movie theater, but. It was such a short run. They did a it was a special. You got to see both of them back to back, but
right.
they only played like one or two times in the theater on a Sunday and a Monday back in January. And I mean, I had prior engagements on both times it was playing. It was playing at well, one of the prior engagements was the NFL playoffs. So
yeah,
it was playing at noontime. It would have been noon to like 3 on a Sunday during the NFL season. So that day was out. And then Monday night, it was playing at 8 o'clock and I had a meeting. So I would have loved to have seen those in the theater, but that literally was the only two times it was playing in every theater around here.
Right.
It wasn't even like, oh, one theater will have it at a different time. They were all playing either at 12 or at 8 on Monday night. So, you know, they are direct to, you know, video. But
right, but I'm just saying, for the most part.
Don't let that slight the movies.
There's obviously adult viewership. But for the most part, even, you know, the same thing with Into the Spider-Verse. I mean, the primary audience are
right.
kids. But the themes and the tones that they had throughout the movie were pretty, like I said, pretty powerful storylines
yeah.
that I thought really brought, you know, a lot to them that you wouldn't think necessarily from
well,
you know,
look at,
watching a cartoon.
What did they say to Superman when he towards the end of Reign of Superman when he comes out of his like
oh yeah
and yeah that was
yeah.
kind of yeah.
Abstain from
yeah abstain
relations
and I love his face.
Yeah,
he's like
okay.
Like he was just gonna run out,
right?
But, I mean,
right, because that's the first thing he's gonna do. Well,
yeah,
maybe this is the first thing I'd be doing, but I just came back from the dead, so
yeah.
But
so yeah, but it does have adult themes to it,
right?
But it's you know it's really good. All right, is that it for Valentine's Day?
I think so. Well, like you said, I didn't prepare anything for Valentine's Day, so that's all I have.
I know.
You got more.
I surprised you. That
you
was
did
my,
surprise
that was
me.
My Valentine's Day gift to you. I surprised you.
I did have
surprise.
Something. This doesn't have anything to do with Valentine's Day, but I've been meaning to bring this up for like 3 weeks in a row now because we are a comic book show.
Breaking up with me?
Yeah. Are you watching Deadly Class at all on Sci-Fi?
No.
Man, it's good.
Deadly Class?
Deadly Class, yeah. It's a comic by Image. It's done by Rick Remender. They're on issue, I don't know, 50 or so in the comics. I mean, it's been going for quite a while. And I only read the first 6 issues of the comic, and I really liked it, but I just never got back to it because, you know, I just have a huge backlog of books that I'm trying to read.
Can't read everything.
But the first 4, I think maybe we're on episode 5 probably airs tonight of Deadly Class. I mean, and it's spot on to the comics, at least through the first 5 or 6 issues. So hopefully, if it continues that way, you know, maybe I won't end up reading them because I'll just watch it all on the show. But it's a really good show. We talked about Deadly Class with the Speculator books a few weeks ago, before the series started, you know, and how it was picking up steam because the show was starting. You know, again, it follows basically a group of kids that are in a school for assassins. And but there's all these cliques.
I remember you saying that. Yeah.
There's all these cliques in there. Like, most of the people that are there were sent there by their parents who are, you know, bad guys. Like, you know, the mafia, the Yakuza. You know, this is where they send their kids to learn how to do all the stuff that they need to learn how to do to be in the Yakuza and the mafia and all that.
Yeah.
But the main character is just a dude they picked up off the streets. He was homeless and you know, didn't have anywhere else to be, and they saw something in him and they brought him in. So, you know, there's a group of kids in there that aren't affiliated to any of the gangs that are there, and, you know, they're trying to navigate their way through, you know, the hierarchy of all these different cliques. And, you know, they all kind of, you know, the Yakuza wants to fight with the mafia. They all kind of want to kill each other, and the Russian mob's there. I don't know, but it's really good. But, you know, it's a comic book show, so I figured I'd bring it up.
Cool. I'll check it out.
But, yeah, I like it. You know, like I said, I really like it. It's only a couple of episodes in, so it wouldn't be that hard to go and binge, you know, 3 or 4 episodes and get caught
up. Right. Was it an hour-long show?
Yeah, it's an hour-long show, but, you know, if you're binging it, it's, what, 45 minutes or so?
40 minutes, yeah. Usually. 42 minutes.
I don't know. Check out the first one. See if you like it. But it seems really fun. I like where it's going. And I don't know the story past the first 6 issues, so I don't know where it's going to go. but I like that I actually don't know where it's going to go. But
yeah,
I have
especially
customers
where it's dead on.
I have customers that are, like, really big fans of the comic that, you know, are like, oh, well, you're going to love it when they get to this part when they get to this stuff. So it sounds like there's a lot of cool stuff coming if they keep it true to the comic. And Rick Remender, who writes the comic, is basically the script supervisor. He's like the executive producer of the show. So I have a feeling he's going to keep it pretty spot on to the comic.
At least for the first season.
Right. You know, we'll see what happens after that. But, you know, and it's on Sci-Fi, so they're able to get away with a little bit. It's not HBO, so they can't go too over the top, but it's also not CBS. It's kind of somewhere in the middle. Cool. So, you know, there's some blood and there's some cursing, and it, you know, it's adult, but, you know, as the name would suggest, but it's definitely the last issue. I mean, the last episode that you aired last week, was really cool. It was a lot of fun. So, like I said, check it out. And if you're listening and you're not watching it, give it a watch and see if you like it.
Sounds good. All right, that good for this week? Because this has been almost an hour and a half.
We're not too far into it.
Yeah. So, all right. We'll wrap it up.
All right.
So, all right. Well, if you like any of our Valentine's Day selections, let us know on Twitter at @thebrightside_chat. And you can email us. Send us a Valentine at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Or you can hit us up on Facebook.
John? I'm sorry. I'm spacing out. I'm watching the time go by on Audacity while you're talking. Facebook.com/thebrightsidechat. And before we wrap up, DJ, I just have one important question for you.
What's that?
Will you be my Valentine?
For now. Unless something better comes
along.
Until
something better comes along. Hey, story of my life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, and speaking of Valentine's Day, we have a new sponsor.
Oh, yeah?
Somebody else likes us.
Hey.
Yep. We have a new sponsor, Friendly Neighborhood Comics from Bellingham, Mass.
All right.
Really, really cool store. I think you saw my tweet. I tweeted about talking to them. Talked to one of the owners, Slade. I talked to another employee the other day. These guys know their stuff. A lot of fun. But they don't. We call them sponsors, but they're not really sponsors. You and I talked about this. They don't pay us, so they're not paying me to say any of this stuff. But it's right. More for the listeners, for you guys. So at the end of the podcast, you'll hear all of our sponsors, and I'll just reiterate it now. You're going to hear it again in a few minutes anyways. But, yeah, if you mention any comic books we talk about, all of these stores have agreed to give you a 10% discount on anything you heard on the Bright Side Chat. All you have to do is just mention you heard the book or, you know, the comic on the Bright Side Chat, and they'll take 10% off. So thank you to Friendly Neighborhood Comics and all of our other sponsors as well.
Well, welcome to our podcast empire.
Yes, we're four stores deep.
Four stores deep.
Yeah. We have, and we're nationwide.
A journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step, DJ.
Yep. Yeah, what? Hey, 1,000 miles. We're nationwide. Some of our stores are thousands of miles apart.
That's right.
So. Three of them are within miles of each other.
Yeah, I was going to say, basically, three out of the four, you can spit and hit each other, and then you come to Texas.
Now, two of them you can. Another one's on the other side of the state. So, and I'm working on that. But if anybody listening has a store or shops at a store, let us know. Send us an email. Let us know what the store is. I'll contact them and see if I can get you your discounts.
So, sounds good.
All right. So rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. We're the Bright Side Chat. We love it. We've gotten a few already, so that's great. And that should do it for this week.
All right. Take care, everyone.
All right. Have a good week. Happy Valentine's Day.
You too.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.